Welcome to Inspiring Wholeness, presented by Advent Health, in partnership with the Orlando Business Journal, featuring people who make Central Florida a better place to work, live, and play. In this episode, we'll discuss food as medicine. Joining us, Karen Corbin, a PhD and investigator at the Advent Health Translational Research Institute, and Allison Harrell, a culinary medicine specialist. Well, thank you both for joining us. Dr. Corbin, you're an associate investigator and a registered dietitian, and you recently published a study that examined how the body appears to react differently to calories ingested from high-fiber whole foods versus ultra-processed foods. Basically, not all calories are created equally. Talk us through that.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. So you can think of calories as a unit of energy, just like a dollar is a unit of a currency. So a calorie starts out as an actual calorie, and it is a calorie. But the magic happens when that calorie goes into the body and how the body utilizes it. And on a sort of very high level, what we found is that when you consume diets that are able to feed your gut microbes more by providing more fiber, more resistant starch, larger pieces of food, so whole foods instead of processed foods, that less calories from the diet end up getting absorbed by the person.
Wow, that is so interesting. You mentioned gut microbiomes. What are they and why are they important for our health?
So that's the logical next question, and it's so, so important. As a registered dietitian, I never thought about bacteria except when I was thinking about food safety and not getting foodborne illness. But over the past 10 years or so, I've been thinking about the gut microbiome. And what that refers to is the community of microbes that live in and on our body. But the ones that are most fundamental for impacting how a calorie gets utilized by the body are the microbes that are in the colon. And there's different kinds of microbes. There are mainly bacteria, but there are also viruses, fungi, and yeast down there that form this very complicated network of microbes that impact how we think. They're releasing molecules and metabolites that our body uses. They also are really important for the immune system and for overall gut health. So that's what they are and why they are so important to us.
Dr. Corbin, how did this study come together?
The work that I was privileged to lead the publication of was a combination of efforts from a large and talented team at the Advent Health Translational Research Institute, but also our colleagues at Arizona State University. So we merged our experience and expertise in human metabolism and physiology with their expertise in microbial ecology. We're based out of Orlando, and a lot of people don't know the capabilities we have in Orlando to study human metabolism in a very precise way, including the components of the gut microbiome. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because we need to get excited about what we can do here in Orlando to advance human nutrition and metabolism research. And the main reason that our work has received so much attention is because of the way we conducted the study. It was very well controlled. All the diets were prepared in our metabolic kitchen. They were provided to the study participants who consumed them at home, and they also lived in our center for 11 days. And then we have these tools to very precisely understand how many calories people are burning, what type of calorie they're burning, what's happening to their body fat, just so many things that we can measure that when you put all of that together, really made the science very exciting to not just other scientists, but people in the community. I had physicians contacting me and saying, finally, I can explain to my patient why I've been telling them to eat this way for all of these years.
Well, it definitely sounds like a team effort. Allison, I want to turn to you now. You're also a registered dietitian nutritionist, a culinary medicine specialist, and culinary educator for the Edible Education Experience and the Center for Health and Well-Being. Can you tell us what culinary medicine is and the work to understand how food and nutrients impact chronic illness?
Yes. Several years ago, I went through a training program to become a certified culinary medicine specialist. And what I loved about it is that instead of going with a medication-first approach, we really looked at the evidence out there of how our nutrition impacts our overall health. And I found it to be valuable to me educating clients, talking about, let's focus on the whole foods that we can choose now to prevent disease later in life. Not just teaching about dietary changes, it's also helping them learn how to select different seasonal foods, how to prepare them, and really enjoy nutritious foods that are going to support their overall well-being. Cooking's not easy. Everyone thinks like, oh yeah, everyone knows how to cook. It's not. And when I go into my classes, kind of showing them simple steps on how they can dress their plate to really support their overall well-being.
Thanks, Allison. Could you maybe share some tips for anyone listening who's interested in incorporating more food as medicine practices into their daily lives?
Sure. What I like to do is I focus on prioritizing whole foods. In our society, we follow this SAD diet, the standard American diet, and it's a lot of processed foods that have been stripped away of important nutrients such as fiber. Fiber is really important for our gut microbiome. So I like to bring back actual real food in its whole form and show people different ways to prepare it. I love talking about my meal tip of making a salad bar in a fridge, because oftentimes people are like, I don't have time to cook. It's so much easier to go through a drive-through. But if you take some extra time once a week and chop up some staple vegetables in your refrigerator, keep it in a clear container so that you see it when you open that fridge, you're more likely to consume it. And then you're not just having salads all the time. You can pick and choose different ingredients to make up a different meal, like a stir fry, something simple, roasted vegetables. Or if you're just like, oftentimes I'm getting a little hungry around dinner time, but I've already got some chopped up peppers in my fridge, and I'm like, I'll just snack on some of these while I'm getting dinner ready versus grabbing chips out of a snack drawer and things like that.
What Allison just said is so important. And one of the things that's intriguing about our work, it's not that the microbiome enhancing diets are surprisingly better for our health. It's simply that we were able to figure out how and why those diets are important for our health. When people eat food, they don't all respond the same way.
And that's where it's good to work with a dietitian, because we'll often go through and have people keep food records and kind of analyze what their tracker says. Like, are you feeling bloated? Have you gained weight? Are you losing weight? What have you been eating? And how is what you're eating contributing to your outcomes? Because my reaction to certain things is going to be different to Dr. Corbin's reaction. So really analyzing your own intake is vital to knowing what foods are going to be best for you.
Allison, based on what we've learned, can you share some strategies for meal planning, grocery shopping, and cooking with the emphasis on nutrient-dense foods?
I like to start my clients out with small changes first. I don't want to completely overwhelm them with all these different changes, but we do focus on more plant-based whole foods. Those foods tend to have the most fiber in it. I like to educate my clients on how to read food labels. So many times people look at the front of nutrition packages and they're like, oh, this is heart healthy. This is like going to help with this, or it's keto or paleo or whatever the fad words are that are popular today. And they think that's a good healthy food. But when you turn the label over and you're seeing, oh my gosh, there's really no fiber in this, or there's a lot of sodium and different things like that. I like to give simple recipes to help people experiment with preparing different dishes in the kitchen, exploring with spices and herbs. So many people forget about those things, or they have them still in their cupboard and they got it when they had their bridal shower 20 years ago in that fancy little container. If you still got those spices in that container, it's time to replenish them with some new ones, because they do last only 6 months to a year. And those are very powerful ingredients that can have a lot of medicinal properties to it as well. I'd like to focus on simple things like staying hydrated. Water is everywhere. You could carry a water bottle with you wherever you go, and likely you'll find one of those water dispensers and you can fill that up for free. I like to batch cook, because I hear all the time from my clients, I don't have time to cook. And I agree, we get busy. And especially if you have children and they're getting older, it gets busier and busier and busier. And when I make a mess in my kitchen, I'm going to make at least 2 batches. And then I'm going to freeze half of it so that when I'm busy, I don't have time to cook, I could just pull that out and finish cooking it. And then I have what tastes like a newly made meal. I have always have some batch cooked plant-based soups in my fridge and some meat. I do eat meat as well. I'm thinking right now, this week I made a lentil chickpea harissa soup that's going to be in my next culinary class. It's absolutely delicious, but I stored it in the freezer by freezing it in a muffin tin. And then once it's frozen, I pop that out, put it in a big Ziploc bag, and then I could just pull out however many muffin-sized frozen blocks that I want and thaw it out in the microwave, and there's my meal.
Yeah, that's great advice. What's one change someone can make in the kitchen today to support and maintain a healthy gut microbiome?
I would say fiber.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think about it as a mindset. So restrictive mindsets when it comes to healthy eating can be really hard to stick to. As soon as you tell me I can't have something, I'm going to want it more than I did before.
Absolutely, me too.
So when it comes to thinking about feeding your microbes, is about first knowing what foods are going to contribute to the microbes' dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so those are whole grains, vegetables, fruits. And then there's foods that have two things, fiber and resistant starch, like all kinds of beans, lentils, quinoa, all these ancient grains like farro. So look at your plate and ask yourself, have I fed my gut microbiome today? And if you've eaten nothing but highly processed, low fiber foods, add something or switch something up. It's amazing how good some of these foods can taste. And I can say from experience, I don't cook, so you don't want me to cook. But I did a cooking class with Allison where I talked about the science, which is my lane, and she did the cooking, which was amazing. And it was very simple, 4 or 5 ingredients with all those fresh herbs and spices, and everybody loved it. So the mindset of not only is this good for me, but I can make it taste good. And just think about those microbes and give them a little food, and I promise it's going to have a beneficial effect on you.
When she was helping me prepare, it was a turkey picadillo, and it had raisins in it. And she's like, I was scared of the raisins because I don't like raisins, but she ate it and she actually liked it. And I want the listeners to understand, just because you think you don't like something, try it again. Chances are, like, okay, I grew up, I hated Brussels sprouts because my mom made them frozen in a block box that you find in the freezer section, boiled it, and it didn't taste good. But now I roast them all the time and I absolutely love the flavor of it. I also grew up hating mushrooms. And then randomly at 26, I had a stuffed mushroom and I thought they were the best thing in the world. Now I add them all the time. So just because you think you don't like something, try it prepared in a different way, then you have a whole new world of fiber-filled foods that you can incorporate. And with my clients, I don't like to ever talk about restriction. It's always, what can I add to my plate to make this dish healthier?
Dr. Corbin, where do you see the future of food and nutrition heading here, particularly in terms of its role in preventative medicine and personalized healthcare?
So nutrition is going to be at the foundation of all of it. So for example, even with the new generation of anti-obesity medications, we still need a healthy lifestyle, including what we eat and how active we are. So just like for decades, nutrition has been at the foundation, it will continue to be at the foundation. But what we know now that, quite frankly, we didn't know when I started my career in nutrition about 25 years ago, is the opportunity to customize diets based on biology and physiology. So with the gut microbiome in particular, we need to do more science that helps us understand what the microbes exactly are doing and how they're impacting our body weight or our mood or our blood pressure even. You can pretty much connect the gut microbes to almost anything because they're a conduit for the utilization of nutrients from our diet. So I think we have an opportunity going forward to continue to do this kind of research so that eventually maybe your doctor's visit includes a blood test and a microbiome test to add to what the physician and dietitian have on hand to make decisions about how to customize your diet. Now, look, doesn't matter how much science we do, broccoli's still going to be better for you than a cookie. I'm sorry. I know I'm breaking your heart. There's no way to change that. The basics are going to always be important and should be followed, but it's how do you tweak that? Do you maybe need a little bit more of a certain vitamin than somebody else? Or maybe you need a little more fat than somebody else or a little more carbohydrate than somebody else. So I think when we combine both precision nutrition and precision medicine so that we can optimize the diet so that we can optimize the way the medication works, and we also find the best medication to really help someone because we also use those biological and physiological tools, then we're going to be miles ahead of where we are today.
You know, there's so much information out there and misinformation. How can our audience navigate conflicting information about diet and gut health in the media and online?
Allison and I work in a field that's just prone for decades and decades to a lot of misinformation. And the first thing I tell people is look for the source. Where did the information come from? Reliable sources are going to link you back to the original research from which those findings were generated. The second thing I'd like to say is listen to experts, people that are trained like registered dietitians, physicians, the healthcare team, healthcare organizations. Those are people who are trained and you can trust what they're saying to you. And another thing I tell people is just because it's on the internet, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a reliable source. And the sources that are reliable are peer-reviewed scientific journals, and there's lots of them, some better than others, but look to see how that originated. And also look to see how is the information replicated by other groups.
Yeah, good tips there. Dr. Corbin, want to close this out by asking you, what inspires you to feel whole?
What inspires me to feel whole is to do work that aligns with my purpose. I've always been a purpose-driven person. I think science for the purpose of solving problems, including healthcare problems, but so many other problems, is something that I've been called to do. It makes me feel whole when I have the privilege to use not only the skills and talents I have, but the things that I really am passionate about. And that's my work. I mean, if we could all find that work that also fills our purpose cup, it's something really special, and I feel blessed to be able to do that every day.
And Allison, how about you? What inspires you to feel whole?
I kind of am along the same line. 3 years ago, I quit my clinical job to work for myself, and now I get to pick and choose the types of work that I enjoy doing. And what I've found I really enjoy is helping people one-on-one or in group settings to really teach them tools so that they can improve their health without feeling overwhelm and restriction. And also getting people in the kitchen, getting their hands dirty and realizing, oh my gosh, cooking can be fun and it's going to support my family. I can get my family back to the dinner table. That is a mission of mine to incorporate more family meals. So showing people simple steps to get food on the table fast so that they can spend time with the people they love.
Well, an informative and practical conversation. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Advent Health has provided whole person care for 115 years. Today, our services, including cancer, cardiac, neurosurgery, orthopedics, and a dedicated women's and children's hospital, are rated among the nation's best. Learn more at feelhealthyfeelwhole.com. And be sure to subscribe to Inspiring Wholeness on your favorite podcast platform. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for any professional advice or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The views expressed by our guests are their own. Their participation in this podcast does not imply an endorsement by them or any entity they represent.